we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you from WMIE 91.5 FM in Cocoa, Florida. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God, and just a little over a week, we will be celebrating 23 years of being the pastor of that church, and we are just really thankful for all that God has done during that time frame. So if you'd like to come visit us, our address is 165 North Grove Street. We're two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, two blocks east of Tropical Trail, and two blocks south of Merritt Avenue. If you want landmarks, we're two blocks west of Pizza Hut. So that's the easiest way to find us. But we also would like to take just a moment not only to thank you for listening, but also to Bill Andriak of Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. If you need any help here in the central Brevard County area with your air conditioning or heater needs, we may need those heaters a little bit here this winter season. I've remembered some very cold winters here, and I remember some very warm ones. And so I remember a Christmas where it was there were power outages because of the cold weather that came in. I also remember a Christmas where it's 85 degrees. And so whatever you need as far as your air conditioning or heating systems, give him a call. He can fix you up, 759-3284. So one more good thing that I realized, and that is we have come to the end of hurricane season, and that is always a wonderful thing. I was here when the storms came through in 2004 and just crisscrossed the state a couple of times. And so we have managed to go another year without having a traumatic storm visit us, and we are very, very thankful for that. So I want to begin talking to you today about something that is a little bit different. I don't know exactly how many broadcasts we will do on this, but I want to ask you today two questions. One is, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want people to remember you for? And the second question is, what do you remember? What do you remember? So we're going to be looking at some memory issues, things that it talks in the Word of God about. And today I want to begin in Luke chapter 17, Luke the 17th chapter. And it says there that in verse number 31, Luke 17:31, in that day he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away, and likewise the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together, the one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field, the one will be taken and the other left. And they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" And he said, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together." And so the topic, the person that I'm going to talk to you about today is Lot's wife. It says here, Jesus is the one who is speaking at this point in time, and he tells us to live our life in such a way that we are not clinging to the things of this time frame of this world system, but instead to be looking for Jesus and for his return. And he says, remember Lot's wife. And there's a number of things that it talks about in the Bible for us to remember. But when I think of Lot's wife, by the way, her name is never mentioned. She is simply remembered for two things. One, her spouse, who she was married to, who she was related with, her identity forever is recorded in Scripture as just the person that she was in relationship with. And the second thing is, she was remembered for her failure. She was remembered for her failure. And I would like to ask you this question today. What do you want to be remembered for? Because I don't want to be remembered for my failures. I want to be remembered for my relationship with Jesus. I'd like to be remembered for the things that I have done for his glory. When the parable of the talents is given, it says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of my rest." I want to be remembered for being faithful. But Lot's wife is remembered for her failure. And a lot of times, we will apply two different standards. We will apply, remember all the good that I've done to ourselves, and we will remember other people for their failures. But I don't believe that Jesus is saying, remember Lot's wife because she failed, but actually learn from that. You see, there are a lot of different ways that you can learn. I know people who can learn things by reading the instruction manual that comes with things that have to be assembled and stuff like that. And I look at that and it just becomes very confusing to me. I especially if the pictures aren't accurate, it's like, okay, now wait a minute. I need a picture. See, I'm a visual guy. That's why when I am talking here on the radio, a lot of times I will try and give illustrations and give word pictures so that you can grasp the concept, because that is the way that I learned. There was a project we were wanting to do at the church many, many years ago, probably 20 plus years ago, was a project that needed to be done, but we were going to do it ourselves. And I had a friend who was in this particular industry. It wasn't a, you know, so I talked to him and, I asked him, I said, could my son and I, could we come and watch you work? Now, this was so long ago that when he agreed that we could come and do that. So we went and helped him on a job, and we took a video recorder with us. And so we video recorded him doing it, and we actually got to do some hands-on stuff. And there, you know, there are always little unique areas of the jobs, and you know, we didn't necessarily become a master tradesperson in that, but we took that video, we took it back to the church, and we showed the men of our church and said, okay, this is how it needs to be done. And I was so proud of the men that day, because they came together and they ended up devising a system that worked. And as a pastor, I can at the end of my message, I say amen. And I look out there and I am unable to see what sort of transformation. I see the hands that are raised. I see the people who have come up for prayer or whatever, but I don't see the radical transformation. And so after our men got done with that project, later that day, I went out and I just stood there and I looked at the project, and it was like, wow. So this is what people who work in the crafts for a living, this is what they get to feel, because at the end of the day, they can see the progress that they have made. So remember Lot's wife. I don't believe Jesus is saying, you know, to remember her for her failure, but learn from her mistake. Like I said, there are some people who learn from reading. There are some people who learn from observation, but we can learn from other people and from the mistakes that they've made so that we do not have to duplicate them in order to learn the same lesson. And that's really the reality that is being said by Jesus here. Remember Lot's wife. And so there's some interesting observation. I'll never forget the time that I first heard this message. A guest speaker was speaking at our church, and he preached this message, remember Lot's wife. And so I want to take you back to Genesis, the 19th chapter. Lot and his wife and his daughters and his future sons-in-laws, they were living in Sodom at the time when God was getting ready to destroy it with fire and brimstone. And so the angels have come, they've assessed the situation, they've determined that there is going to be a destruction of the city. And in verse number 12, it says, "Then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here, son-in-laws, or son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in this city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, get up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you. Listen to this. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Then Lot said to them, please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See, now this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said to him, see, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. If you are reading that passage, underline that, take note of it, because it's very important. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Verse number 23, the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heaven. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And so let me just point out to you a little bit. There was a declaration that by the angels that there was destruction that was coming. It was an announced destruction. It was, get out of this place. You need to take advantage of the way of escape. And so he said, get up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. And, you know, that's really where we are as a society right now. Our current society thinks that people who believe the word of God, who believe that Jesus is returning again, who believes that there is a judgment day that is coming and a day of accountability, and a day when the wrath of God is going to be poured up on this place, that we are just out of our mind, that we're crazy, and that we don't have any serious mental faculties going on. All I know is that when God speaks, he is the authority in a situation in my life, and so I believe him. Until somebody can come up with greater credibility, the one who's never wrong, who never lies, who never deceives, and is always holy and just in his judgment, then I'm going to believe the one who is. So whether a person thinks that I'm joking, or whether they think that I'm out of my mind, or think that I'm crazy, that doesn't matter to me. What matters is what God has said in his word. That's what I put my faith and my trust in. And so the angels come to Lot, and the morning had dawned. They said, arise. They urged him to hurry. He said, arise, take your wife and your daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of this city. So there was an urgency. I believe that that the time is shorter now than we have ever had. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. I'm not as young as I used to be. Time has marched on, and that means that we are ever closer to the day of the Lord. That means we're ever closer to the day of his returning. I had a person that I knew. I didn't know them well, but I did know them. They were a pastor, and this last week he preached a message. He preached in a church, and he has since gone to be with the Lord already this week. I've got other people who have lived their life in the ministry, and they have been very ill, and they know that their day is approaching. But this man had no warning. he got up and he functioned and he crossed eternity's threshold that same day. You and I, we need to realize the urgency of the situation. God declares that today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not the day after, not next week, not next year. See, a lot of times we want to, as they say in politics, kick the can down the road. We want to procrastinate in making life-altering decisions and choices, and we say, oh, we can take care of that later. I want you to know that I can't kick the can as far down the road as I could in my 20s. I've got, you know, 30 years under my belt since then. So there are changes that I need to make. We can look at those changes. You could look at the changes by what does your finances look like now compared to what it used to look like? What about your health? What are there decisions that there are people who are saying, you know, it may not be an angel from the Lord, but it might be a doctor. It might be your somebody else, and saying, look, you need to make changes. These are very urgent changes. You need to abandon this old way of life and come and embrace this new way of life, the way that God wants you to live. There may be some changes that are necessary. Please do not kick the can down the road and procrastinate, because your next step may be your last. And he says, and verse number 16 is very, very interesting. It says, and while he lingered. So there, these angels of the Lord are in, they are encouraging him to be urgent in his actions, and he's lingering. He's just taking his own sweet time about it. And I don't know if you know people like that, but for a person who has an urgency that they're wanting to deal with something that they want it taken care of right now, and there are people who are nonchalant and apathetic and they're just lingering, it can be extremely frustrating. And I want you to know that if it's a human being and it's not really anything earth-shattering, you know, it can just be kind of annoying or whatever. But when God tells you to be urgent and you linger, there are consequences. And so the angels, they literally grab Lot, they grab his wife's hand, and they grab the two daughters, and they take them to the gate of the city because they were merciful to him. I want you to know that the reason that we are saved today is because of the mercy of God. And they literally drug them, they brought them and set them outside the city. And in my Bible, there's an exclamation point after this, and it says, escape for your life. Okay, so I want to ask you today, what is the reason that you would pursue the will of God, the path of God, the holiness of God? If it's not for you, how about for your spouse? If you won't make the changes for yourself, how about for your children? What would you do? What reason, what motivation would there be for you to escape? And whatever that motivation is, do it. Do it. Escape for your life. This is what they said. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. And so there were specific instructions that said, you can't look back. You can't look back. You see, when the children of Israel, later in history after this event, when they were wandering around in the wilderness, they were always looking back to how good Egypt was. And the farther that you get away from the pain and the trauma, sometimes the memories fade and you don't remember the taskmaster as much as you remembered the food that you had. And so he says, whatever you do, do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. In other words, don't just start the journey and not finish it, but get all the way to the destination that we have told you. Lot negotiates and says, instead of the mountains, how about this little town that's over there? And they said, fine, we'll let you go there. Look at verse number 21. And he said to him, see, I have favored you concerning this thing also, and that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. And that is really an amazing thing, that God was so interested in preserving Lot and Lot's wife and his daughters that he said, even though this city is going to be destroyed and there's an urgency, I can't afford to have you linger, because I, in my mercy, am not going to begin the devastation until you arrive at your destination. And so for us, we believe that it is very important that the word of God be proclaimed throughout the entire world. That's why we constantly increase our missions giving and not decrease our missions giving. We're looking to make sure that there are more messengers who can take the gospel into more places so that more people can be heard, because the Bible says, and then the end shall come. So, he says, hurry, escape, therefore, I cannot do anything until you arrive there. And so, verse number 23 says that the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Okay, so as you look there, you can see that they have made it to the city. And in verse number 24, the raining of the brimstone and fire comes down. It says, then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heaven. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. Now remember, what we're talking about is remember Lot's wife. Everything we have talked about to this point has to do with Lot and his lingering and all of his actions. So what is it that we are to learn about Lot's wife? Remember, the devastation, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah could not take place until Lot and his wife and his daughters entered the city of Zoar. In verse number 26, we read that after the destruction had taken place, but his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. That means she had made it to the city. She had gone through all of the journey. And I don't believe she was just looking back as an observer, because Abraham looks up and let me see if I can find out verse number 27. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. So I don't believe that her looking back was just to, you know, gaze upon it like we gaze upon a rocket that launches into the sky here from the Space Coast. But instead, there was a looking back, there was a longing for her that she was going to miss what God had just destroyed. You know what is a really amazing thing is when God takes out ungodly desires out of us and he replaces them with godly desires. And I believe that the secret to spiritual growth is having a desire and a longing for the things of God that is more intense, that is more passionate, that is more driven than the desires that we used to have for the things of the world. So if you had a desire for alcohol, that you no longer have that desire. You have a thirst for the living water that only Jesus can provide. Instead of having a thirst and a longing to be popular or famous, you have a desire to be found faithful. And so instead of pursuing sin, you are pursuing righteousness. Instead of pursuing deceit, you are pursuing truth. I believe that it is a passionate, that it's very important for us to be zealous for the things of God. And I know that that word has kind of been hijacked, and, you know, we call people who are zealots, well, that a lot of people are zealots for fleshly desires or human means of accomplishing things. We need to be zealous for the things of God. We need to be eagerly desiring the things of God. And so we need to not only begin the journey, we not only need to continue in the journey, but we need to make sure that when we get to our destination, that we recognize the mercy of God, and we say, you know what, God, there is nothing in my past that is as great as the future that you have prepared for us. And so I remember the first time I ever heard this preacher preach on Lot's wife, and he said, Jesus admonishes us to remember Lot's wife because she made it all the way to the threshold, and then her desires overtook her, and she was destroyed. Her life came to a halt right there. And so now you know the background of Luke, the 17th chapter. So let's go back there just a second, Luke 17, and see what God is talking about. In verse number 22, it says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until a day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it." So it says there that we need to realize that when God is bringing about our deliverance, that we need to not worry about the possessions that we have that they're not going to matter in eternity. I want you to know that Jesus is preparing a place for you, and he's preparing a place for me. It's going to be a beautiful place, an amazing place. It is beyond any description that man could be able to do. I want you today to set your face like a flint, as it says in the Bible, to set your focus on God's timeline, God's path, God's plan, and realize that it is better than anything this world has to offer. Don't miss heaven for the world. Don't miss heaven for anything. It's just not worth it. Father, today we remember the lesson of Lot's wife. God, today I pray that there would be people who would begin the journey. I pray that there would be people who are tempted to give up, that today they would get a new wind in their sails and they would say, "I will continue to press on for Jesus' sake." God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."